welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hello, hello! Mr. Rufus, are you with us this evening? I'm not seeing Rufus. Looks like he's called in, but maybe he's having a little technical difficulties. I hope everyone had a great holiday season. I know that I'm glad it's over. I'm sure maybe some other people are glad that it's over as well. I don't know. Like I said, I'm hoping so. And looks like we got Rufus on the line with us. Rufus, are you there, sir?
I don't know. Am I here? Can you hear me?
I think, wow, that's like an eternal question. Is it really? Are you here? Are you here, Rufus? I'd say as far as this radio show goes, you are here.
That's a deep question. I don't like to start the new year with profundities like that.
Profundity? Is that a real word? If so, I feel like ignoramus.
It is a real word. I can't believe it just came to me. It is.
Congratulations, sir. You are smarter than I, which is a noble feat unto itself.
Oh, shucks.
How was the new year for you, Rufus?
The new year was good. Good. It started off exactly like the last new year. I had all these resolutions. I was going to become a new man. And then one day into it, I'm like, no, I'll just be the same piece of shit I've always been. I'm cool with that.
Well, you know what? Why change when you've perfected being a piece of shit? You know what I mean? When you're the best at being a piece of shit, just continue to be like an exquisite museum quality piece of shit.
I've worked so hard at it. Museum quality. I like that.
You know, I was with you when you were training, dude, when your younger years, when you were just kind of like a, I'd like to say like a beginning piece of shit before you really honed the craft. But you were off to a pretty good start.
I've always considered you my Obi-Wan Kenobi when it comes to becoming a piece of shit. I can't thank you more for the
piece of
shit that I become.
Right.
In all honesty, dude,
I am a huge piece of shit. And I don't deny it.
Museum quality.
At least museum quality. I'm talking like,
you know, I don't know. Yeah, museum quality. I mean, that's about as good as you can get on Earth, is it not? Or maybe I should be like a piece of shit that's shot into outer space, lest there is some other being out there can find me in my ultimate piece of shitness and realize that this is what we do in the United States. We create very giant pieces of shit.
That is the future of pieces of shit, for sure. Space. Pieces of shit like us are space-bound. Absolutely.
Hey, do you know a lot about Hunter S. Thompson at all?
I don't know a lot. No, I don't. Other than I think based on what other people I know say that I might like the guy. I know some people into him, and I think I might like him, but I know nothing of him.
And I didn't really know. I've read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas just because I saw it on a commercial probably that you were supposed to. But I watched a pretty interesting thing on Netflix, documentary about him. And you know what? He's a pretty fucking interesting character. And basically, dude, he ended up killing himself because he was so frustrated with fucking America and American people. Because I didn't know this, but really the kind of reporter he was a political reporter, okay? He used to go on these campaign trails with presidential candidates. And basically, he got to witness firsthand how shit was, like, bought and sold. Elections were bought in the first place. And it fucking pretty much drove him bananas and drove him to drink even more than me and you. I mean, I'm saying we probably got 5 or 2 left before we really, you know. I saw something on the where you, they grow you in a Petri dish now, so I'm not really stressed about health issues anymore. Did you see this?
Did I see what?
That they can grow like livers in a Petri dish. But you should see that Netflix documentary. It's called Gonzo, I do believe. There he is. Welcome to the new year. For those of you that are I just got a visual on Rufus now, and he is looking like a huge piece of shit for the new year. Congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't even know Hunter S. Thompson killed himself. I mean, I know very little about the guy. I didn't know. In fact, until you said the word gonzo, I forgot that he kind of coined that whole thing. And I also forgot that he was a reporter. I thought he was a writer, you know, based on Fear and Loathing. I thought he was a novelist. So I really know very little about the guy. That's interesting.
He wrote a book about the hell. He kind of started out as a guy writing articles like yourself. And he ended up writing a book. He followed the Hell's Angels, like, wrote a book about that. It was, like, quite successful, but it didn't really depend on the success he wanted. So, I don't know. He's a complex dude. Let's say that. I don't know. I watched, that's why I started my YouTube. I watched that.
Man, you're breaking up so bad. I can't even understand what's going on anymore. I don't know if it's my connection or Blog Talk Radio. I got four bars.
I think
bars.
You need to hold your hand up in the air again.
I am. That's why I'm leaning over in the image you see.
Dude, you need a longer arm. Put your show arm on.
My show arm? I need a selfie stick, I guess.
Sorry, I had to run away from the computer for a second. Now, are you with me, Rufus? Are you with me here?
I believe so.
All right. So, yeah, I suggest watching that movie. I do. I do suggest that.
I shall. What's it called again? It's on Netflix?
I think it's just called Gonzo. Yes, it's on Netflix. You know what?
Cool.
We should
okay.
do this where we have, like, a documentary of the week, because I think before I had told you to watch the Citizen Cook. How disturbing was that documentary?
It was pretty disturbing. It was, unfortunately, there wasn't new revelations that I wasn't aware of. It was like things that you're kind of suspicious about, and then this confirms it, and you're like, ah, fuck, things really are as bad as I thought they were. Fuck.
You know what it was to me? You know what it really was to me? It was like, strung together a bunch of stuff that we had, like, heard basically on the news and shit, like, 20 years ago, and you're like, whatever, I'm going to my fucking job at the sub shop. I don't have time for trivial pursuits of politics and shit like that and how people are trying to manipulate
right.
the government. Of course they are. You know, and it just kind of to me is like, now, I guess I'm old now because I give a shit. And I think that they, I think that technically means you're old. I knew I was old. I knew I'd reached middle age for sure when I was, like, excited about watching the Democratic debate. I mean,
yeah.
That was the kind of thing that 10 years ago definitely would not have excited me. But I think it's only because Bernie is a candidate. Now,
that's
if it was
true.
Just
but he's got a,
Hillary
he's
and other
spirit.
Well, and this is it. Dude, this the last thing I'm going to say about this movie is that George McGovern in 1972 was exactly like Bernie Sanders. They are the exact same candidate, right?
Uh-oh.
And McGovern didn't win. The only reason everybody laughed at McGovern, he's not going to fucking win, he's not going to do this or that, and all of a sudden he's in the race for the presidency. And unfortunately, he would have won the presidency, except he... As his running mate, he chose, like, some senator that had had shock therapy 3 times in his life, right? Like, whenever he was feeling depressed or whatever, he got shock therapy, like, 20 or 30 years earlier. And that's someone found that out, and you would have thought the guy, like, fucking was making babies into a stew and eating it. Because the whole fucking country, like, turned on this poor fucking guy and turned on the government, and he lost the fucking... He lost the presidency because of that, basically. Even
that's
after he
insane.
Told
that's,
the guy to step down, he still fucking got fucked.
That's fucking retarded. Unfortunately, God. Man,
that's
I like
America.
To think that it is America, but I like to think that hopefully with the internet and stuff, we're a smarter populace now so that somebody like Bernie Sanders couldn't be taken down by something so totally fucking retarded. I mean, obviously retarded shit doesn't matter anymore because...
Right.
Because Trump is retarded left and right, and he's still polling like in the fucking off the charts. Nobody cares about being retarded anymore.
It's like, wait a minute, how more retarded can you get? Could you get like so retarded that you come all the way around in a full circle, and then shit is like working right? But it's just like retarded, like what we're saying. Retarded is a horrible word to use, but I think people understand what we're trying to say here. Is that the whole world? I mean, retarded is a legitimate word to use, probably for something like that. And I'm not saying retarded in the sense that retarded people are retarded. I'm saying like retarded as in probably what the definition of retarded is, as it does not pertain to a certain individual. Does that make sense?
Right. No, I mean, the concept of retarded is just means it's limited and held back for whatever reason.
Right.
I mean, retarded is not a bad word. Listen to people who think it is, but Trump's a fucking retard in that sense. I mean, and yet, what are his polling numbers? Out of the Republican Party, he's polling like the highest above everybody by quite a large margin. So, if you want to use the word retarded, you can splash it around pretty freely in that group, apparently.
I mean, his whole way of thinking is retarded, and the whole idea that people actually want to vote for him, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get how you can't see that he's just a reality TV star and like a fucking big phony in his own mind. I was reading this thing on – I don't answer a lot of shit on Facebook, but this guy had – some fucking big diatribe on the Bernie Sanders page, actually, about Trump, right? It was actually the High Times website or Facebook page, which I read quite often. But and this guy's like, oh, maybe it's time for fucking this country to be run like a business, right? And I love it when people like that, because you know what? It is being run as a business. That's what's fucking wrong with it.
Good point. That's a great point.
You know what I mean?
That's the problem. It's
just not
like
about the employees. It's about the profit margin. And that's the fucking problem. And I'm thinking, then so I go back with this guy, and I'm like, you know what, dude? I had a link to Trump has declared bankruptcy 4 fucking times, right? To get himself off the hook, fucking personal liabilities. And he's such a bad fucking runner of a business. The stipulation to every one of those bankruptcies was that he fucking steps down and out of the business. I mean, is that really the guy you want as your business leader when you want the country to be run like a business?
I don't know. You made a good point. The country is run like a business, and that's the problem. There
I want to let you know, too. That just came to me right in that moment. So thank you for drawing that out of me with your piece of shit.
Well, no, that's not the only good point you made. You made another good point. And that is that I can see why people like Trump, because people, at least in the group of people that like Trump, they're so enamored with like reality TV and movies, they're attracted to his bravado, his confidence, and his gunslinger attitude.
You know
not
what?
Thinking. I mean, he steps up like the hero that you want to see on a poster, and people fall for it. So, and that
dude, all they
need—he's manipulating that.
All they need to come out with to win this fucking election is the Trump, right? Like put into a Star Wars costume with his hair like radiating around him like the Force, and like I don't know, what would he be holding—a golf club or something? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would put it over the top. I hope they're not listening.
It'd be a lightsaber made by Callaway.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'd be some fucking brand that he had honed out of a mammoth fucking tooth or something.
No, that's right. A mammoth tooth and light driver.
Because, I mean, I don't care what people say about Trump. I know he's the kind of fucking person that loves to kill small animals and probably hunts. Right? Didn't his son go on a hunting trip where they killed some kind of fucking white rhino or something? And he made a PDA case out of it?
Something like that. I mean, he's an opportunist. I mean, he's just like, here's my chance to get my brand out there. He's not really, he doesn't give a fuck. I don't think he gives a fuck about politics at all. I think he's like, here's my chance. I'm getting the Trump name out there. And I'm being talked about, good or bad. You know, but boom, I'm, you know, in the headlines.
The whole world is a fucking popularity contest. I mean, that's it.
It is. Yeah.
God, I've been feeling so fucking weird. Did you ever, like, have, like, weeks on end where you just feel weird? Am I the only person experiencing
that? I've had about 41 years on end where I just feel
weird. I'm being totally honest, though. I, like, go in and out of it. I feel totally weird sometimes. It's really fucking crazy.
You mean
it's starting to scare me?
Physically or, like, mentally?
Mentally. Really? Mentally. Like, I'm, like, I can feel like I'm having an episode right now.
An episode of what?
Rufus! This is Ron Johnny!
What the fuck are you
Hello?
Talking about?
I am the spirit
Hello.
Of Ron Johnny. I am a dung. I was a dung salesman in ancient India.
Are you channeling an ancient spirit? What's going on?
I am using Dominic's body, a zigzag body, as a vehicle to enter this realm.
Jeez, you should have shopped around.
He is in very poor shape. I do see that.
This is just the body you want to get from A to B. It's not the one you want for the long haul, right?
You think it is bad on the outside. It is very bad on the inside, too.
Zigzag hasn't taken care of the interior. Damn.
Zigzag definitely needs to do some tidying up. There's many broken things up in his brain up here. Maybe you can help me, Rufus. I am on a quest. In every crystal is many puzzles from the past. I have a puzzle where I'm trying to get in touch with one of my grandchildren. Great, 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 like 50 times great, my grandchild from one of my 9 children. I raised 9 children very proudly on the salary of a dung salesman. And
dung
I did very
salesman.
Well. I specialize in camel dung, but I did take advantage of various dungs when they were available.
Hey, you got to jump on that. Dung's spreading
very
well on the stock
one
market.
One of my relatives. You tell him that I need to borrow some money, Rufus.
You're a dung salesman that needs to borrow money?
I need to borrow American dollars or bitcoins. Because all of the other realm is going to Bitcoin.
Bitcoin apparently is supposed to come back in 2016.
What's that?
The exchange rate, Bitcoin's supposed to, like, come back in 2016 and be a big deal. The exchange rate on Bitcoin is fucking ridiculous.
Bitcoin?
It's like $3,000 for one Bitcoin.
I don't
get
it, dude. I thought we were just talking about Trump. How did you get out of Bitcoin?
No, you got inhabited by an Indian dung salesman.
What? What are you talking about? What does that mean?
Shut up. Now I feel like I'm on that paranormal radio show again.
Dumb salesman. I don't know, dude. It's weird. I will say, I was telling you I was feeling weird important. I've had this really fucking weird craving to eat, like, Indian food, and I don't know why. And I really, even more strange probably, Rufus, is I was behind my garage the other day, and I felt like taking a dump outside of my house, just like taking a dump. In the middle of my yard. It was super fucking weird.
That is.
Anyways,
I
feel so weird that it's like I feel like I lost like 2 or 3 minutes of my life a minute ago when I don't know, things went like really, I don't know. I felt like I like fell asleep. But I didn't get any rest.
I don't think you lost 2 minutes. I think an Indian dung salesman gained 2 minutes.
An Indian dung salesman? Is there a market for dung?
Apparently his job wasn't going too well. So I think the market's limited. I'm sure Apple has something to do with that.
Seems like there'd be a lot of uses for dung, I would think.
Well, you can
maybe I'm wrong
with it.
Well, you know, here's the deal. People that want America to be run like a business, too. This guy, of course I snooped the guy's profile right after... I see that he's a Trump supporter. People need to realize that you can learn a lot about someone by snooping their thing. And him and his wife, like, took over this thread, and she's like, I'm worried about my husband's job. I just want him to make a decent living wage and all that stuff. And he works on an oil pipeline, right? He's like some kind of pipeline. Not a, like a guy that, like, puts pipes together type person, I guess.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? They're, you know, of course they're talking about Mexicans taking over and all that kind of stuff and whatever. And I'm just thinking, I email him back. I don't email him. I put on their Facebook. I'm like, see, business, America is run like a business, and that's why your husband has no job security, because if they find someone to do it for a fucking dollar cheaper, they're going to hire that person. Because
right.
That's how Republicans do things, right? I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense when people think that someone like that
all
is
I know.
The answer.
Look, without being too analytical about it, all I know, my own personal experience, is that I've been hearing about, since the days that my ears could analyze the words coming into them, I've been hearing about Mexicans coming over and taking over the country and all of our jobs since I was 10 years old.
I know.
And nothing changed, and yet I got a good job.
You should hear it up north.
Every white person I know has a good job.
It's worse up north because it's just like so much more obvious. At least if you live in Texas or somewhere and you see some Mexican people, you're like, well, they were here first. I mean, let's be realistic, right? I mean, we couldn't get rid of all of them. We didn't.
Right.
They had cured smallpox by then, I think.
Yes.
I'm not sure though. What time did Texas? I mean, Texas was at one time called Old Mexico, was it not? Or something like that?
It was called Mexico 2, I think. Mexico 2.0.
Sure? I'm pretty sure it was called Mexico 1. And we pushed them.
That's right. 2. Now it's called Mexico
2.0. Right.
So is most of California.
That, you know what, I never even think about California or any of the other states that I'm sure it's obviously very, like I'm saying though, it's not so up here in Denver or around the Colorado area, if you see a Mexican person, you're allowed to throw rocks at them because you know that they're a foreigner.
Well, and you know that they'll catch the rocks and probably make a nice driveway out of them.
That's true. You can string them together and make a bridge.
Right. Well,
just like a walking bridge, though. You could never...
They're great at pouring cement.
They are. They're like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I was thinking about that term the other day. Isn't every prophecy self-fulfilling? Or am I wrong about that?
I think you're pretty much right, because one guy says this will happen, and then thousands of people make it happen. So, yeah, it's pretty much self-fulfilling.
It's a prophecy, so if it's fulfilled, it's self-fulfilling. I don't think there could be another thing that would come along and, like, fulfill a prophecy. Is there?
Yeah, I don't think prophecies are accidentally fulfilled, no.
Right.
Says, oops, I fulfilled the prophecy. Oh, shit.
Right, I fulfilled someone else's prophecy. That's always
damn, I should invoice them.
I should, if I was just spending more time, well, you know, people have fulfilled our prophecies when they've gone on to make, like, virtual replicas of themselves, or of people that have died, like you had suggested, and we had turned into a viable business model on the show.
Yes.
So
they
fulfilled our prophecy.
Well, I didn't fulfill the prophecy myself. Somebody else fulfilled it for me.
So it's not a prophecy, right?
No, it's just a good idea that was stolen by opportunistic douchebags. That's not a prophecy.
My guess is they work for the Trump machine. Well, you know what? If
they
you
must.
Think about it, I watch. Have you seen this? Have you ever heard of this guy, Randall, the Amazing Randall?
No.
Well, he was like he started out as an escape artist in like the 50s. And he went on to be like, become a magician. But he was like a magician. He's like a regular person's magician that he would be happy to, like, show you a trick. But he would always say before he did it, you know what? This is total flim-flam. This is, I'm tricking you, right? Because in his opinion, like, magicians that left you not knowing what the trick was were, like, trying to pull a fast one on you and were dishonest. He called himself an honest liar. right? Because he was a magician for a living. So what he did, though, they had, like, these people like Yuri Geller. Are you familiar with him? You know who this guy is?
Spoon guy.
Exactly. They wrote, Soundgarden wrote that song about him, Spoon Guy. You remember that song.
But, yeah, Soundgarden.
So he would, like, he followed this guy because he was all flim-flam, right? So he followed these, like, people that were supposedly these, what do they call people like that? PSIs or whatever. Psychic intuitive. And
right.
He would, like, he would go on a TV show, and then this guy, Randall, would book the TV show afterwards and show how he did all of his tricks. Right?
Really?
Like, totally fucking discredit the guy. And so he also, like, he was really didn't like the religious guys that would take money from people. So he debunked, like, the most famous guy of all. He, like, showed how they did it by using an earpiece, and they would get these people's names before the show, right, in these prayer cards.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Well, and so then everybody fucking turns on this guy and hates him because he's, like, debunking, you know, these people that are robbing people and like, treating people like idiots. And, like, the whole fucking world, like, turns on this poor guy. And you're like, can't you just fucking leave them alone? You know, it's like people wanted to believe in the bullshit so bad that when this guy fucking debunked, they fucking got angry at him. And, like, he became a fucking outcast.
You don't want somebody shaking up your worldview. Absolutely not. I mean, especially if you've grown up with it. And it's, like, ingrained.
It's not the worldview. It's a bullshit act that these guys are putting on. Right? That people are buying and fucking wanting to believe in. You know what I mean?
Right,
I see what you're saying.
Sorry, but I hurt my knee.
How did you hurt your knee? On the show?
I just stretched my leg out to pop it, and it popped, and I'm pretty sure my kneecap shot across the room. Didn't feel good.
I think I heard it. Either it was that or a couple of beer caps that fell out of your pocket.
We had a faith healer. Does Amazing Randall have a faith healer that he trusts?
Yuri Geller is no longer calling himself a psychic, though. He is calling himself some kind of... I think he's decorating houses or something now.
With his mind.
Right. I think he's went from psychic intuitive to feng shui professional.
Well, there was. Maybe you've seen this too. There was an episode of the Johnny Carson show. Johnny Carson, you gotta love Johnny Carson, man. What a great host.
They started showing reruns of Johnny Carson here.
He had Yuri Geller on during Yuri Geller's like height of fame or whatever.
Right.
And they were interviewing him or whatever, and Johnny Carson said, "Well, bend this spoon," and he like brought out his own spoon. Not like one that Yuri supplied. And of course Yuri couldn't bend it.
That Randall guy had called the prop guy at the Johnny Carson show to tell him how to fucking make sure if he had real powers or not. And he told them at the Johnny Carson show to bring out their own props and to, like, put some rubber glue on these things. I mean, he totally fucking told them how to bust him out. And during that program, I don't know if you saw this, but Yuri Geller had to, like, took a 20-minute break, right? And they went to commercial for 20 fucking minutes. And then they came back from commercial, and he just had to leave the show. He was, like, exposed as a phony on the fucking show.
Right.
And it was awesome. It was totally fucking awesome. Because you know what? That guy, Randall, is right. When a lot of these people believe in shit and they stop taking their medicines and whatnot, they're out of their fucking mind, because you can fucking die for not taking your medicine because some dickhead wants to get $50 out of your pocket. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's fucking insanity. This one guy had these people throwing their pills into the fucking, into the middle of the aisle. Shit. He's like, don't take your pills. If you're here, I mean, 100,000 people. If you're here, I want you to throw your medication into the fucking middle aisle.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is fucked up. But you know what? Honestly, Google something about your heart health, and the first thing that'll come up is be some fucking guy trying to sell you some bullshit vitamin and telling you that you don't need a fucking heart bypass or a fucking stent put in.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, That should be fucking illegal.
Hey,
because people
I can't
know.
See you. Is your camera on? I can't see you. I'm
yes, my camera is
myself.
On.
Ah, shit.
I can see you.
I can see the hypersloth. Well, I know you can see me. I can see me. I normally don't get tired of looking at just me, but I can't see you. Only the slothy logo guy.
He's better looking anyways. What, there's like a little pile of curry. There's a little pile of curry on my table here. What the fuck is that? Curry?
Right.
I had curry in my life. That's crazy.
It might be made out of dung. Be careful.
You and this dung thing, that is crazy. You know what? I'm really starting to feel weird again, too. I'm like starting to feel out. It's like seeing that curry like started to trigger something in my brain.
Oh, no.
So, anyways. So, yeah, I suggest, you know what? Maybe we just do a whole show. All I'll ever do is suggest Netflix documentaries that I've been watching in the background. Like, you know what? I feel bad telling people that I watch these documentaries because, really, I don't really watch them. I kind of listen to them in the background while I'm trying to work. Does that make that's
sure.
as good as watching, isn't it? I probably missed the most important parts, but I catch like bits and pieces.
You absorb it subconsciously because your brain is actively involved doing something else. So it's like your doors are wide open. So even though you're not actively participating in that documentary, it's like slipping in the door, and you're getting it all.
So you're calling my work brainless. Thank you. I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah, when you're doing your job, your brain's got plenty of room to do something else.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's sad as it is, it's like I'm on fucking – I think anybody after a while when you do your job, it's probably more dangerous than drinking and driving because you just get so fucking like – in the zone is probably not the right word.
No,
what do they call it? Like,
that's not the right word.
What do they call it when you like road hypnosis, highway hypnosis, where you're just like off in fucking
like
la land?
You just have that 1,000-yard stare, and you're like a robot.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, some other documentary, I've watched a lot of documentaries, apparently. I didn't realize how much until just this second. But some other documentary I was watching was about how in the future, maybe it was that same Randall documentary, in the future, like, what's going to happen? Oh, you know what it was? You ever see The Inside Man, Morgan Spurlock, that show?
A couple of times. I saw the documentary that made him famous, and I've seen that show a couple of times, but maybe not the episode you're going to reference.
I mean, I was not really a big Morgan Spurlock fan, and I think it's because he's a ginger, honestly, to be honest with you. I think that's why I didn't like him. But
can't trust him.
Watching this Inside Man, I'm like, he's not so bad. But he was on this one that was he was trying to figure out how to live forever, right? And he goes and he like goes through this super hardcore physical and stuff. And of course, this guy is a longevity expert, right? And he does like a whole CAT scan of your body. I mean, like he had some legitimate tests done, like they take stem cells and shit like that. And then he prescribes him like $5,000 worth of fucking vitamins that he needs to take that he can only get from this guy. He got him taking like 125 vitamins a day or something totally fucking outrageous. But
Jesus.
He got into like living forever and like how we would be possible for us to just upload our brain and our being, right, into a central mainframe. And one of the experts he was talking to was, what is that guy's name? Kurzweil. Are you familiar with this guy? He like invented synthesizers and shit like that, but he's way smarter than that. And he's like, well, if you think about it, we already are, because if we can figure out a way to even just get Facebook, it's kind of like putting your life online. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, like, that's people's reality. He's like, if you just, you know, they're making right? They're so small, you know, but like a million of them could fit on fucking 10 basically. It's like, one day, those can climb inside your body and keep you alive, right?
if you outgrow your body, they'll be able to store your fucking thoughts, all your memories. It's sort of like the Matrix, honestly.
And I was like, wow, I don't want to be alive for that, I don't think. And then I was like, well, maybe I do. Maybe that would be cool.
Well, it's really, it's even simpler than that. And that you don't have to, you don't have to fuck around with all that uploading your brain data, because just recently, the FDA, for the first time ever, the FDA decided to take aging as a disease that we all fucking have that can be treated. And the reason that anti-aging medications have never fucking made it anywhere is because the FDA just figured, like most people, well, we all get old and fucking die, whatever. But now these breakthroughs, because they're making drugs that will, like, you squirt this drug in a mouse, and the mouse will live 75% longer. And they're like, pretty soon, we can take that drug, and we'll all be 250 years old. And
we get to decide who gets to take the drug. Who decides who takes the drug? I don't think I want to be around with a lot of people that are here currently.
Unfortunately, I think
the very rich.
The very rich are going to live forever, and the poor. You know, I had an idea for a story once
poor
that I think was stolen from me by the guys who made Elysium, which is like, it's in the future. We've cured all diseases and all aging, and so the super rich, the only thing that can kill you is blunt force trauma. So nobody will leave their fucking houses. That's the fear we have. You know, we can live forever unless we get hit by something. And so, like, the rich elite live in these cocoons in these, you know, luxurious apartments, and the poor people just live normal fucking lives, and they still die at the age of 60 or whatever.
And, like,
or 70,
is everything
hopefully.
Round? Is, like, all the furniture round and, like, everything is, like, padded with super thick carpet and, like, leather walls and shit? I like it.
Right. So, like, aging can't kill you. Diseases can't kill you. The only thing that can kill you is, like, physical trauma. So the rich people that are, quote-unquote, immortal, they just avoid human contact and going out and doing anything. So they employ the poor people who are just mortal and are going to die in their 60s or 70s anyway. But
put themselves inside, like, a robotic skin, where they only experience, like, everything virtually anyways. They never get to, like, smell anything or have human contact, really, like, skin to skin. Sort of like they're trapped inside their own anti-aging disease. And then at the end, how about at the end, an Indian guy throws a water fountain through a window, and they all run out.
That could be after the main character gets a lobotomy.
We should make that that's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, right? You know that. We should make that the ending to every movie. Just be a fucking, at the very end of the episode, that they show that scene with whoever the characters are.
Dude, that's one of my all-time favorite fucking movies. I love it to death.
You know what? It's been like a long time since I've seen that movie. I think I probably need to revisit it as more of an adult. I think the last time I saw it, I was like 13. And I was just like, what the fuck is that all about? You know what I mean? Now I think I can actually probably have my head shaved and be committed there. You know, now that I'm hearing weird voices in my shit.
You're kind of breaking up. But yeah, it's a great movie, and it's, I mean, it happens in a confined space. It's this guy who pretends to be nuts to not go to jail, and they get stuck in a place with other nutty people, and so the authority figures think he's really nuts.
Right. No, I know.
It's an allegory for the fucking world. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's like guys like you and me in America.
Now that I've got more life experience, it probably would make more sense to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that's Kim
totally.
Kesey's book, right? Kim Kesey was a beatnik, basically. I got respect for Kim Kesey. He helped start the Dead.
This is true.
He basically turned on the whole world to fucking LSD. I mean, single-handedly, he started the fucking, like, beatnik and hippie revolution by stealing LSD when it was still legal from the facility where he was taking it for trial basis and was giving it to people, and they were fucking loving the shit out of it. I mean, it was legal for a long time, LSD, until they figured out that it made people think and want to revolt.
Most drugs were legal.
I think if people smoked pot, really, the world would be a collective, more intelligent place, because I think that people get hung up on the wrong fucking shit, and they can't see, you know what I mean? I know that sounds crazy for me to say that, but they just, you know, they focus on the wrong shit in life. I mean, I think I'm guilty of it, just as anybody is. You kind of have to be.
I don't even think it's a matter of more people smoking pot. I think it's about more people not giving a shit about pot. I mean, if like Republicans and shit don't want to smoke pot, that's cool, but they should just shrug their shoulders and be like, okay, whatever. There doesn't need to be legislation. I don't think everybody needs to smoke weed or drink beer or whatever. The problem is that everybody has a problem with everybody else and what everybody else does, and just fucking don't give a shit about everybody else. Just keep your own fucking shit in line. Don't hurt somebody, whether you do pot or drugs or whatever. What's that?
I said that's the Baptist and everybody always wanting to know how they can fucking bring the other person down or talk shit about somebody. You know what I mean? That's why we're so worried about what other people are doing. Usually it's because we don't want people to see what we're doing, or it just makes us feel bigger. I mean, I'm saying Republicans are bullies. Watch a Republican debate, dude. They got two things they fucking talk about. Immigration and the fucking war in Afghanistan. That's it. Those are the only things that they ever want to fucking talk about. And if they think that more guns are going to make America safer, you know what, dude? Remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about how they're going to do that, that it's legal to carry a gun in Texas, right? An open carry. Two people have been fucking killed already. One person, some ladies were shot in a car by a dude because of fucking road rage. Did I not call that out on the show? But see, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And now some other dude up some other Islamic guy and said, go back to Islam, and fucking shot the guy.
Jesus Christ.
In a road rage incident. Both times it was road rage. So, I mean,
people
fuck?
Fucked up.
Seems like that has already failed. It's failed. It's 5 days. It's been 5 days. Two people are dead. That's going to fucking, they're going to thin the herd down there in Texas pretty quick like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard. I mean, those people were fucked up. I mean, if I lived in Texas for a long time and they passed the open carry law, I still wouldn't shoot somebody.
No,
I mean,
you wouldn't.
People are,
but some other joker
people are
will.
Fucked up and insane, right? So I don't know. It comes down to behavior, and I don't want to say behavior modification because that to me sounds worse than gun control. But there's a fundamental thing that's just not right with humanity and how we perceive each other that I think is really the root of the problem.
Well, I'm saying though, I'm not against guns. I have no problem with guns, other than everyone who buys a gun should probably have to take a fucking Rorschach test before they're allowed
to.
I mean, that's fair enough. But it's just people having that access to guns. You know what? Now I get to carry my gun, and now, you know what? It's just like one further step in getting someone to fucking shoot someone is to say, hey, why don't you just have it fucking strapped to your side and carry it around?
Right.
Well, I mean, now it's like right there at your hand, right where you've fucking been waiting to fucking pull that trigger on somebody.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, man. I mean, that's the problem. I don't think anyone knows what the answer is. I think ultimately the answer is like super, super fucking strict background checks and psychological checks. I don't care if it's open carry or not. If you have a handgun,
right. I agree with that 100%.
There's more stringent fucking rules to get a driver's license than there is to get a handgun, even now.
It's,
and
dude,
I think
here's why. This is what's ridiculous. Now, you put me in a fucking room with a guy that is hardcore fucking Mr. Pro-Gun or whatever, right? And then you put a fucking crazy guy in the room, too. And obviously the guy's crazy, and he's talking about killing shit and whatever. Would you think Republicans are so fucking stupid, hard-nosed, they'd say, you know what, that guy is entitled to have a fucking gun, right? Some people would say, hey, you know what, insane people shouldn't be allowed to fucking have guns. It's just not that kind of a fucking right. Know what I mean? Would you give a fucking 2-year-old a gun? I mean, okay, someone with the mental fucking ability of a 10-year-old, you know, or a 2-year-old gets a gun. I don't care if it's their right or not. They shouldn't fucking have it. It's not a right.
Right. No, no, that's what I'm saying. There should be a like, serious psychological... No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
See, but to a Republican, it's like, well, yeah, everyone should have a test except for me. I shouldn't have to, and the people I know, we shouldn't have to have tests, but everyone else should have the test.
Yeah, well, that permeates all of politics, no matter what side you're on, unfortunately, everybody but me.
We should just start our own political party.
Okay, good luck.
Well, I mean, why a donkey and an elephant? Any idea? Just out of curiosity.
I used to know, but I forgot. I don't know. There was an actually interesting reason for both, but I don't remember what the fuck they are now.
It must have been extremely interesting.
It's so interesting, I fucking forgot.
It was replaced with something even more trivial. Like probably
right. How
many calories are in a Bud Light.
Hey, man, Star Wars 7 came out. I had to make room in my brain to keep
totally
track of all that. So I pushed out some important stuff.
Hey, did you put a French flag on your Facebook profile?
A French flag? You mean when that bombing happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It came up. I was like, fuck it, whatever. I clicked it.
Now, do you think French people are putting American flags up on their fucking Facebook pages when all those people were killed over here?
No, of course not.
Or did the French people just leave it? Right. I mean, that's kind of unfair, don't you think?
Well, that's Facebook's fault. Facebook creates all that shit. Facebook makes all that stuff.
They didn't offer an American flag?
No. As far as I know, they didn't.
What?
And I think it's because Facebook's an American company, basically. Oh, man, I lost you.
No, I was dumbfounded. I was dumbfounded at that moment that they would not create an American flag. How about a Confederate flag? Is there a Confederate Facebook flag?
There should be. Let's do that. You and me tonight. We'll overlay a Confederate flag in our faces and see what happens.
Oh, my, you know, we'd be fucking internet sensations. Internet.
We'll do, like, in the memory of all the Confederate soldiers that died preserving the right of slavery or something.
It's all right to have the Confederate flag as long as we're doing it in memoriam to someone.
Well, compared to, like, the whole gun thing, you know, you can take my slave away when you pry it from my cold, dead hands.
While I'm wrapped in this flag, while I'm wearing this flag as a cape.
Right.
You know what? I hate to say this, but if you're ever, like, out in public and you see a guy without a shirt, you got to kind of assume that he's got a Confederate flag probably somewhere on his property or on his body. Because when is the last time you've been out in public, like, without a fucking shirt on to, like, 7-Eleven?
I don't go out of my bedroom without a shirt on. Because I have pride in myself as a human being.
I don't. You know what? I'm not even that crazily out of shape, but I want to protect people from having to see me without a shirt on. So I have a swimming shirt. That's a true story.
So you have
I think
what?
It's just decency. Because you know what? I don't want to see some other dude's fucking gut and tits and hairy chest and shit. I mean, put on a fucking swimming shirt, for Christ's sake.
I don't even care if you're ripped. I mean, come on.
Right,
society dealing with other people, put on a fucking shirt, you idiot. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm saying at a hotel pool. Wear a shirt as a man in a hotel pool. Just do it.
When I go to a hotel pool, I wear a suit. I swim in a suit. Because I want to show respect to the other patrons.
You just want to show them how successful you are. You guys got the wrong idea about swimming suits. The fucking real fucking swimming suit that's a three-piece.
That's right. I walk down the steps into the pool in my suit, having a speakerphone conversation with somebody from another country in a meeting, just so everybody knows that I'm important, but I still like to enjoy swimming.
I just hope that while you're doing it, you're talking extremely a lot with your hands, being very hand signaling with your important conversation. You pay for the pool.
I do, yes. And when I get in the pool and about waist deep, then I get into like a fight with whoever's on the phone. And I start slapping on the pool water and splashing around like I'm at a board meeting on the table. Like, no, you will produce a better ROI on this investment. Slap, slap, slap.
Slap.
And
kick.
It's quite impressive.
I can just see when you're relaxing and you're just like talking to your wife or whatever, are you doing the backstroke because you're not animated while you're talking on the phone and swimming?
Yeah, sometimes.
It's like swimming was the one place you could get away from people being on the phone, but now you can't even do that anymore. Now people
get away from people.
Stand in the pool on their phones.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Maybe it was that show that you watch. What is it called with those guys on it? They're like, dare the guys to do the other stuff. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was like, maybe it was America's Funniest Home Videos or something, but this guy was sitting next to people and they were he was listening. He was talking on, it looked like he was talking on a cell phone of his own, right? And he could hear what people were saying on their cell phone conversations and he would answer their cell phone conversations. Like if she's like, hey, how you doing? Some lady says that, he'd be like, oh, I'm doing great. And like talking into his phone and acting like he was having the same exact opposite end of a conversation as people were having.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant fucking idea. Honestly, I'm not doing it justice by trying to explain it, but if you ever can find out where that's from, I'd appreciate if you email me and let me know so I could watch it again.
If I dig it up, I shall.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Or if someone wants to send it to me on the Hypersloth Happy Hour website, hypersloth.me, I would appreciate that as well. Zigzag at hypersloth.me or Rufus at hypersloth.me. And now, you said you saw we're going to see the Star Wars movie a second time?
I saw it a second time last weekend, with my boy.
Do you feel like there was something you picked up on the second time that you did not pick up on the first time?
There was, just nothing mind-blowing, the little references that kind of made more sense.
Now, was it less expensive to go see in your small town as opposed to the big city of Fort Smith?
It was not, actually. It was a little theater here. The theater is newly restored, by the way. It's from the 1930s, and it's a really cool little theater, but it's a tiny theater, like a little bitty screen and just a few rows of seats. They built a new VIP section. It's not like a big Cinemark or, whatever. It's a really
what the VIP section of the theater in Waldron, Arkansas, consists of. Are there, like, Jay-Z and shit up there, like, popping bottles and fucking chicks coming out with sparklers and shit like that, or what?
No, there's no celebrities unless you account for me. But
right.
We didn't get VIP tickets. They were sold out. But it's like they have, like, barca loungers up there and, like, coffee tables and shit. It's not like
they were sold out.
They were sold out. They were, yeah.
Wow,
so
things are good.
We sat in the coach seats. And, it was
in Arkansas. Did you have some? Was there some poultry royalty up there in those seats?
I'm sure there was a Tyson executive up there. I could smell some, you know, chicken.
I did notice that chicken was a nickel more a pound today because he's splurging on the expensive VIP seats at the theater there.
They are $10 a ticket for the VIP seats, so.
$10 extra?
Tyson stock has probably gone up.
$10 extra for a VIP seating?
No, just $10.
How much is the movie?
Seven.
What?
Well, I mean, seven bucks for, like, normal seats, $10 for VIP seats.
In Fort Smith, too?
I don't remember what Fort Smith was. I bought it online, so I paid no attention to the money, the price.
Right, because it's not real. It's not real if it's online, if it's digital. It's just like, oh, it just was there, then it was gone. And I never have to hold it in my hand. Not even real.
The numbers on the screen.
Right. Click
next. Keep clicking next.
Just hurry
until
up
you're
already.
Done.
This is already taking too long. I've had to click twice, which is fucking
exactly.
Ludicrous. So, I swear to God, I went to a movie. I thought it was like I paid $12 to see a fucking kids movie or something not that long ago.
Well, I mean, for me and my kid, it was $14. You know, we didn't get popcorn because we ate at Sonic beforehand. But we got drinks. The drinks were reasonable. You know, small town.
Last time I went to the movie, we saw Hotel Transylvania 2. And you know how they're, like, trying to upcharge you on everything at the fucking... If they're good, if these people are trained properly, they're like, why don't you just get the one bigger bag of popcorn, right? It's all folded up. It's just a paper bag. It's not a bucket or anything. So I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it's only, like, $1.50 more or whatever. And she opens this fucking bag, dude. And I swear to God, it's like the size of a goddamn garbage bag. And I'm like, what the fuck? What am I going to do with all that fucking popcorn? I mean, you know, it was $1 more or whatever, and I'm like, oh, it can't be that much more. I mean, we're at the movie theater after all. And I swear to God, it was like the fucking biggest, most awkward fucking thing you could try to walk with. You know what I mean? In movie theater, I'm like, hey, here's a giant fucking bag of popcorn under one fucking arm. It's trying to go down a row of seats and, like, dropping it on people's heads and in their drinks and shit. I was like, what the fuck? So me and my daughter are sitting there, and I swear to God, we ate on this thing for, like, the full fucking hour or whatever the movie was and didn't even put a goddamn dent in it. And then you feel bad. I'm like, so I don't want this popcorn anymore. Can I just throw it out, or do I have to, like, take it home? So people are like, you're wasting food, you know?
Food.
I will never fall for that again. I think it was, for a while, I thought maybe I was on America's Funniest Home Videos or some hidden camera show because the fucking bag of popcorn is so big.
Yeah, it's funny, but we went to see Star Wars last weekend at this little theater. The people in front of us, they got the most gargantuan things that you could get. You know, they got their drinks were like the size of a 40-gallon drum. Their their popcorn was like a tin garbage can that, like, you know, fucking Oscar the Grouch would live in. But then these people sat on the same row as us, and I swear to God, the little girl that was like their daughter or whatever, she ate the entire, like, garbage can full of popcorn and then went back twice during the movie to get two more and ate them all. And I'm like, popcorn is cool, but it that's fucking good. I mean, really? I think, honestly,
right.
I think she's probably needs
she
to be rescued.
In popcorn.
Yeah, her parents look pretty poor. I think she's probably just malnourished.
Oh, my God. She's like, this is better than that old shoe we're going to have for dinner.
Hey, we are in the Ozarks. It's either old shoe leather or moonshine for dinner.
Or both on special occasions.
Or both.
Christmas, they probably have both.
Shoe leather and moonshine. Softens it up a little bit.
Leather with the sole removed. I mean, it doesn't last as long, but it's a little easier on your two or three teeth you got left.
It's easier on your tooth.
Tooth leather. Nice and tender. Hey, we're going to take this thing in the VIP room. What do you think?
Briefly, my bladder is already, like, pushing up against my lungs. And I didn't see it. That's a big turnoff for me. I don't mean it sounds weird, but it helps the conversation flow. And I haven't seen no zigzag on that. Damn.
All right, that was a bust. Trying to play the VIP music. It's not playing or anything, but it'll start as soon as we start talking again. So, you know what? I don't know why you can't see me, because I know I can see both of us, and you're right. It does make for a much easier show when you can see the other person, honestly. It does. My worst nightmare is you not being able to see you, which has happened a few times, and it's just not as much fun. But there we go.
There we go.
Can't stop it. So enjoy. Like, great. Sit back and enjoy. What kind of politician ever say something like that? Was that Bush that said that? Who was that?
That said what?
Cheney. Was it Cheney? Somebody said that. Remember, they were waiting for he was one president. I'm pretty sure it was the president. Someone high up in the Bush cabinet or whatever. They were sitting around getting ready to go on a hunting trip, and there was a bunch of fog. And, of course, he says something like, the fog is like rape. The fog is like rape. You can't really do anything about it. You just have to sit back and enjoy it and wait until it's over. There's some fucking classy thing like that in front of a bunch of reporters.
No, I think that was the Texas governor at the time before was Ann Richards. The one that was the Texas governor, and Ann Richards came in to compete with him. And he said his name was Clayton. And he said something exactly like that. Like, oh, the Texas weather's like rape. You can't predict it. You just got to lay back and enjoy it. And
here's the funny thing, dude. The funny thing is, there's been like 5 or 6 people that have said that publicly and got fucking nailed for it. I know. I'm pretty sure that's the same thing Bobby Knight said, too.
Really?
I'm almost sure of it. I mean, it's like you see one guy get lambasted for it, you're like, hey, that's a pretty good fucking joke. I think I'll use that next time I'm around a bunch of reporters.
Well, I mean, if you can't stop it, join in. If you can't beat them, join them, right?
I guess that's what they say about rape. I don't know. I'm going to have to rape someone and find out.
like you haven't already. Come on.
Well, and it's not rape, dude, if you say, hey, this is just like fog. There's nothing you can do about it. Sit back and enjoy it. I'm not raping you. I'm just fog.
It's not rape if you make them breakfast while they're still unconscious.
You know what? It's not rape either if you tidy up. If you tidy up their house while they're unconscious.
This is true. It's not rape if you give them a loving kiss on the forehead before you abscond into the night.
Right. Then it's love. Then it's called dating.
You're practically engaged at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you've already had sex, so it's not like you could get an annulment if you wanted one.
That's right. In the eyes of God, you're married. Take that, bitch.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. That's why you're allowed to rape anyone that you have shared an address with. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're legally married.
Yep, can't argue with the law.
Well, maybe we've been thinking this whole rape thing wrong. Because apparently if you just wait long enough, it just goes away.
I think raping needs a reboot, honestly. It needs a new marketing and branding campaign. It does. It does. You accidentally win the lottery, that's good. Well, when you accidentally have sex, shouldn't that be good?
Yeah, I mean, really, for the victim, it's just kind of a fortunate accident waiting to happen.
We all want to get laid, and if you can get laid with no effort and without trying, then Come on, you're lucky.
I mean, now...
Okay, we're getting in a weird territory that I feel bad about, maybe.
We are. We are, but now, is it rape? This is what I don't understand.
If these kids, like these teenage boys, get raped by these hot, and I know we're going to get some hate mail about this, they get raped by these hot, like, they're not really raped. Some 17-year-old dude having sex with his hot 28-year-old teacher is not rape. It's just a fucking super lucky dude. And I'll never understand. That's like every dude's fantasy. I mean, so guys have to or gay. You really have.
No, I think you're right. You broke up there a second. I don't know if it's my phone or what. But you're right. You're right. I mean, I think when that happens to a 16-year-old dude, it's pretty much the best thing that could ever happen to him ever. And he will tell his children and grandchildren about it, maybe in softer terms. But it's the best day of his life. He's not manipulated. He's not taken advantage of. He's like, fuck yeah, this is awesome.
Right. Well, I mean, and here I am. I'm 46 years old, and I'm still thinking about having sex with a 28-year-old teacher. So, I mean, he's, like, done something that I haven't got to do yet.
Absolutely. Well, look, I'm 41. I'm thinking about, like, if I was a professor, having sex with a 28-year-old student.
You know what? This is crazy. When I went to St. Edward's, dude, it was so rampant, like, professors dating students. It's like, I think it's 80% of the reason that people become professors, isn't it?
Should be.
I mean, it's legal at that point, right? I mean, is it looked down upon? I don't even know. It didn't seem like it.
I mean, I think there's probably a professional conflict of interest, but that be damned if, you know, I'm getting some hot 22-year-old poontang and I'm a 33-year-old professor.
Hey, dude, I wouldn't dig it.
I don't need tenure.
Sucking a dick to get a fucking A in a class? I don't know. If they would have been dangled out there in my college years, parents would have been pretty proud, no doubt. Let's say it's obviously I didn't suck a dick because I did not do that well in college. My grades were not stellar. I limped through, literally. Because I did not
suck a dick.
It's like, I got this point, I think, for St. Edward's. They're like, he's just been here so long, let's let him go. Let's let our caged bird fly.
Well, what's crazy is the one time that I sucked a dick in college, I was about to fail, and the professor told me, it was a creative writing class, and he's like, look, suck my dick, I'll give you an A. And I sucked so poorly that he's like, no, you failed that too. And so I...
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Nothing for. I actually. Funny you say that because I did actually suck a dick too in college, and it was probably the same professor. And he told me he was going to give me an A, but he gave me a B plus, and I was pretty fucking upset about it. I'm not surprised. Give me an A. Don't insult me Don't insult my dick sucking skills with a fucking B plus.
Well, the joke's on him, because even though I failed the class, whenever I blew him, I had the beginnings of a pretty rabid cold sore. So I'm sure the rest of his life has been covered in blisters.
Kind of explains where my cold sore came from, I guess.
Yeah, it could be. I used to speak
of
bush flavor now and then when I had a glistening cold sore on my face.
I've shared a few joints, I'm sure, with someone who had a cold sore.
Oh, I'm sure, and more than that.
Oh, God, I don't like to think about that. You know what, dude? We should do, like, a version of Ethiopian Pizza Strong where you're just, like, you get high, and then you're just so hungry, all you can do is, like, wail in hunger because there's nothing to eat.
That is like when you would eat other starving children, I guess. You'd be like,
oh,
yeah,
no one
like,
would be safe.
Salty. That's terrible. I can't believe you said that.
Oh, children are so tender at that age. I mean, so wonderful.
That
so
how are overrated.
Are you guys got snow there in Walden, Arkansas?
What? You broke up. What?
I said, you guys got snow?
It snowed a little bit like 2 days ago, but only enough to like see it happen. It didn't stick, and then nothing else happened. It's cold as fuck. I mean, for us here, it's, you know, in the nights it gets down to the 20s. During the days, it's in the 30s. But it has not a lot of precipitation, no snow.
You know, we, oddly enough, dude, global warming is real because we don't have any fucking snow either. And I'm sick. It's so easy for the government to get on, say, it's El Nino or whatever. I mean, bullshit. There's something more going on with the Earth. I just have to believe that because I'm a conspiracy theorist by trade.
That's why we got to get off the Earth or fix it. Probably too late to fix it, honestly.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
fuck off of it.
Unless you can go back in time, I don't think there's really any fix. I think time's the only thing that will fix the Earth.
I don't think
humans treat the Earth like 22-year-olds treat apartments they're renting. We just fuck it up, and then now we're going to go to a new planet and probably fuck that shit up, too.
I guess that people are so short-sighted that they don't realize that we're not going to any new planet in our particular lifetime.
We're
probably
not
even live to be 100 and something years old. I mean, do you think, like, your average Joe is not going to jump on a plane and go to another planet in this lifetime? Do you think?
No. And it's a shame, but we should be at that point. I mean, it's ridiculous that we stopped going to the moon and stopped, like, exploring that shit. I mean, by this point, we should have colonies on the moon and even Mars, but only now we're sending robots there and talking about sending people to Mars. That should be old hat. I mean, we should have people there. But now that it's an option, it's not an option the way people think it's an option. It's an option for, like, highly specialized 12 astronauts to go to Mars. It's not like, oh, cool, we can all go to Mars. No, that's not going for 200 years.
Here's the way that they're talking about doing it. So this tells you the kind of timeline it would take. They're going to go to Mars. They're going to send a machine to Mars, right? This is what I understand.
Yeah.
And this machine will help to make rain in Mars to create an atmosphere in Mars. Now, how the fuck long would that take? I mean, it's got to take a million fucking years, right?
Long fucking time.
And I'm pretty sure the machine will break after, like, the third day. So.
Well, of course.
Right. What'll happen is it'll need some kind of software upgrade, like, every 2 minutes for the next million years. So it'll just, like, not get anything done.
It'll need an in-app purchase, like playing Candy Crush, and be like, uh-oh. We hit a tough patch of silicone. You need to buy a 99-cent upgrade to drill past this.
Exactly.
Okay.
I guess we don't have a choice. You know, that's what people are doing. Instead of, like, you know, social media and all that shit, people, instead of, like experiencing reality, are just involved playing fucking Candy Crush on their phone. Like, they should make it so... If you want to play Candy Crush on your phone, you have to vote before you can play fucking Candy Crush on your phone.
You know, it is weird that social media really could be, like, the best thing that ever happened to humanity because
right.
It connects all humans, and yet all we use it for is playing stupid games and sharing, like, pictures of minions and dumbass fucking memes. It's not like we use it to really connect and, like, share ideas. Well, some people do, but usually there's stupid ideas.
I like to think we do, and I like to think people listen to our show do as well. Speaking of which, you know what? I'm going to give the Bud Buddy a little shout-out here because we are going to get the website going up here pretty soon. Got a new package for the Bud Buddy. Are you seeing this?
Well, no, I can't see it, of course.
Oh,
no.
Shit. I'm putting it up in front of the camera, too. Sorry about that. I meant to email that to you. But I'm also ordering some header cards. I'm ready to go 100% all in on the Bud Buddy. And I know I say that every week, but I'm doing it right now. I'm in the middle of it. I've designed the header cards. I've got the packaging. I know, Rufus, but now I'm doing it. It's my New Year's resolution
is to sell 1 million Bud Buddies in 2016.
What's funny is you don't only say that every day, you say it every year.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing. Probably the most amazing part is I haven't given up on my dream. A lot of people would have given up by now. I've got tenacity.
You do. You believe in the dream that you keep in your pocket. Let's unleash it to the world.
What you don't understand is this idea has been in production is probably not the right word, but I've been working on honing this idea since my freshman year at St. Edward's when I invented the Roach Coach, which is where my love of cannabis containment
came from.
Because back then, dude, you know, if you scored a bag of weed in Austin, Texas in 1987, and you, like, were getting $100 a month from your parents, you were pretty stoked about it, and you were wanting to savor every fucking leaf of weed. So throwing a roach out was, like, an ultimate fucking no-no. So I was trying to figure out a way to, like, carry around roaches, right? And they back at the time, they sold these keychains that had these pill bottles on them, right? Not a pill bottle, but like a little metal thing you could keep your medication in. And I'm like, that would be the perfect fucking roach coach. So I started using one as a roach coach, I called it. I brand named it Roach Coach. I even wrote Roach Coach on mine in black Sharpie marker. And before I knew it, like 10 or 11 of the people that I knew that I smoked dope with regularly had their own roach coaches.
Oh, my.
Yes. But then I got onto the laundry lock, and the roach coach was kind of left behind. But now I'm realizing that the roach coach and the Bud Buddy have more wheels, probably are easily more attainable to get out to the general public than the laundry lock. The laundry lock will come, but the roach coach or the Bud Buddy must pave the way, so to speak.
Right. Especially whenever new weed's a big fucking thing now with legalization, all this stuff. You got to strike while the iron's hot, is what they say.
Now, did I tell you that I came up with a new word called gram-centric? Did I tell you that at the last show?
No.
Because now people are buying weed, like weed, different strains and stuff, because there's so many of them now, by the gram. So I came up with the word gram-centric just to use in my sales pitch for the Bud Buddy so I can tell the owners of the dispensaries and stuff that now that weed has become more gram-centric in its sales approach, because they know that that's why people need the Bud Buddy. And I looked it up, and gram-centric is not a word, but it is now, because I have made it gram-centric.
Sweet.
So next time you're buying something at the store, tell them that have a gram-centric day and see what they say.
A gram-centric day. Nice.
Yes. I'd like to see you try that. You'll probably get thrown out of your little town. Probably get thrown out of the VIP section.
My bladder is my lungs can't expand because my bladder is so full.
We just go as long into the VIP as Rufus's bladder will last, and apparently he's been imbibing on the Bud Light all day because he's about to burst. The opposite of flames would be if you were bursting because you were full of piss. Burst into piss, I guess.
Oh, all day. I can't do it all day.
Thursday show, we down?
I'm down.
Maybe on Thursday show, we give the people a little taste. We're writing a song called Fuck the 1%.
Yeah, sounds good. I like it.
So I've got a few verses down. We'll have to work on it on Thursday show. So come on back, people. Check us out Thursday. Until then, have yourself a Hyper Sloth week. And Rufus, you have a Hyper Sloth week too.
I shall. You too, Double Z.
She's going to play Beer is Food and then out. So we'll catch you Thursday, folks.
Right.
Talk to yas. That's if I can find it on the playlist here. Oh, Blog Talk Radio, why have you forsaken me? Music. That's Hypersloth, Hypersloth. Get some of our hits up there. And I just want to say, hey, we'll check you Thursday for Thursday's show where we're going to write a song live on the air called Fuck the 1%. See you then. Or, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean.
Thanks for listening to Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus.